You know what I just did? I just spoke words of destiny. Does everybody know? I want you to turn to your neighbor. If they're asleep, slap them. I want you to turn to your neighbor, and I want you to speak at your neighbor. I want you to say, I bless you in the name of Jesus. I pray that the Lord visit you, establish you, perfect you, deliver you, and heal you. I pray that the Lord prosper you, keep you in good health, open the doors of heaven, and shut the doors of hell. I pray that God will grant you far above all you could ever ask or think from this day forward, in Jesus' name. Now everybody say amen. What you just did, you spoke words of destiny into somebody's life. Obviously, that's tonight's teaching. Words of destiny. Praise God. Hallelujah. Go to Psalm 32. Psalm 32. It's just for you. Is everybody there? Let's read this together, please. Psalm 32. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there's no deceit nor deception. When I kept silent, my bones grew what? Old. Now, why did they grow old? Why are they crumbling? They're drying out. Because he kept what? Silent. Through my groaning all the day long, for the day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was turned into the drought of summer. I acknowledged my sin to you, and my iniquity I have not hidden. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. For this cause everyone who is godly shall pray to you in time when you may be found. Surely in the flood of great waters they shall not come near him. You are my hiding place. You shall preserve me from trouble. You shall surround me with songs of what? Deliverance. What's he doing? He's speaking words of destiny, isn't he? And the Lord says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. Do not be like the horse or like the mule, which have no understanding, which must be harnessed with bit and bridle, else they will not come near you. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he who trusts in the Lord, mercy shall surround him. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart. Words of destiny. But there was something that he did. He realized that through his confession, it would bring cleansing. Is everybody with me? See, when you're not cleansed, confession isn't there. Are you listening? See, cleansing will bring words of destiny. So the first thing we need to do is be cleansed before you can give a clean word. Hello? Now, destiny is associated with... Now, we know that we have been called, we are called to battle. Our purpose is to destroy Satan's kingdom. And our destiny is to utilize the talents and abilities that God has given us to infiltrate the world system of Satan. So when destiny is being spoken, what's happening is... there's a preparation and an impartation to infiltrate the world system of Satan's. Is everybody with me? So when there are words of destiny are so important in our life. That's why even when we make confession, you know, so many people just look at the word of confession as confession. But they don't realize that words can change the course of not only your destiny, but somebody else's. Are you listening? Go to Daniel chapter 9. Daniel 9. Daniel was praying to the Lord. I'll tell you, him and David were powerful intercessors. In chapter 9, go to verse, start at 17. And read this with me. 9:17. Now therefore, our God, hear the prayer of your servant and his supplication. And for the Lord's sake, cause your face to shine on your sanctuary, which is desolate. O my God, incline your ear and hear. Open your eyes and see our desolations in the city, which is called by your name. For we do not present our supplications before you because of our righteous deeds, but because of your great mercies. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, listen and act. Do not delay for your own sake, my God, for your city and your people are called by your name. Now while I was speaking, praying, and confessing my sin, while I was what? Speaking, praying, and confessing my sin. This is called prayer. While I was speaking, praying, and confessing my sin, and the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God, for the holy mountain of my God, yes, while I was speaking in prayer, the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, reached me about the time of the evening offering. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I have now come forth to give you skill in what? Understand. Now listen, this just didn't happen out of coincidence. This happened because Daniel was doing something. He was confessing his sins. He was humbling himself before God. And the Lord sent Gabriel, the messenger, so that Daniel would get skill to understand. Everyone say skill to understand. That is also skill to interpret. You know, many people get dreams, they get visions, they see things, but they don't know what God is saying. So you first must step back again, because these things happen in the area where we are consistent and disciplined. And in this, Daniel was consistent and disciplined in his prayer every day, in his confession of sin. He didn't compromise. He kept the Lord first, always before him. And so by doing that, the Lord sent Gabriel to bring his presence and impart in Daniel a revelation to be skillful of understanding of the things that God would be speaking and showing to him. How many of y'all want that? Hallelujah. And at the beginning of your supplication, the command went out, and I have come to tell you, for you are greatly beloved. Therefore, consider the matter and understand the vision. Again, it started off with words of cleansing to bring words of destiny. Everyone say that with me. It starts with words of cleansing to bring words of destiny. Go to James chapter 4. James chapter 4. Praise be to God. Words of cleansing to bring words of destiny. Your words can change the course of your life and somebody else's. In verse 1, let's read this together. Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and you do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. Let me share something with you. People think that this is murder by killing somebody. This is murder of the mouth. This is murder of the mouth. Yet you do not have because you do not what? Ask. You ask and you do not receive because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your pleasures. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. In other words, you're his enemy because he can't trust you. Or do you think that the scripture says in vain, the spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously, but he gives more grace, therefore he says, God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. And the word grace means God's plan to escape the deception of the enemy and the wrath of God. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Submitting to God, resisting the devil. Submitting to God, and you, if you can't submit to God, you cannot resist the devil. You cannot resist his temptations. When somebody falls out of divine order, it's because they're not submitting to God. It's not because of anything else. Or you can blame it on anybody you want. You can blame your offense and all of the other garbage that according to the carnal world, but an individual goes out of place because they're not submitting to God. Bottom line, that's that. Justification won't work. Submit to God, resist the devil. If you're not resisting the devil, it's because you're not submitting to God. You know, when I was in jail today, I was talking about how to keeping the Lord first. And so many times we're asking God for things, and there are delays, and it's because God's really not first. And the Lord told me to call somebody out, and I called the person out, and I had him stand next to me. And I said something to him, low in voice, and he answered me back. I said, did anybody else hear that? They said, no. I said, right. It's the same thing with God. The closer you are to him, the quicker you get an answer. See, sometimes a long-distance relationship with the Lord takes a long time to get the answer. And if there's things in between you and God, even when the Lord sends the answer, it can go all directions to finally get to you because you're not listening. Are you listening? The closer you are. So when I said to him, I said something to him, I don't remember what it was. And he answered me and I said, anybody else hear that? And they said, no. I said, you know why? Because we're close. We're close. But anybody that's further away, they can't hear it. See, because if you keep the Lord close to you, are you listening? If he's first, if he's number one, if he's always before you, you don't have to write him a letter. Hello? You don't even have to pick up the phone. 1-800-GOD. You say, Dad. He says, son, daughter, I love you, Dad. I love you, too. You know, I blew it. I know. Will you forgive me? You know I forgive you. We're close. Your mistakes are my problem, son. That's my dad. That's the one I'm in love with. That's the one who loves me. He knows I can't be perfect. So I blame it on him. Man, would you make me do that for a guy? You know better than that. Yeah, I know, Dad. See, you talk to him like he's your dad who loves you unconditionally. And he does. I tell him all the time, I don't know how you put up with me. I mean, it's amazing and how you put up with me. It's amazing to me. All the dumb, stupid things I do. And you still put up with me. And your love is so unconditional. See, there isn't anything you can do to change God's love for you. So don't try to get brownie points. It doesn't work. You cannot change God's love towards you. Whether you blow it or you don't, His love for me and you is unconditional. You were not created out of hate or dishonor. You are created out of love. See, but the enemy always wants to tell you something different because he wants you to change the course of your destiny. So when you agree with him, you get off course. And things may seem to be going right, but eventually you step in the mud hole. You step on the doo-doo. And then your fruit stinks. So there is that place of closeness where we know his unction. He talks to you without saying anything. So many people were waiting on a word. Lord, I need a word from you. Why don't you draw a little closer? Pow! See, then he didn't have to speak, did he? Verse 7, therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Wow. See, a double-minded individual is on two paths of destiny. The one that the enemy is giving and the one that God has predestined for them. The problem is they're not on one. They're on both, and they can't do both. So they step in one day, and they step in the other. And they step, but they're not in step. And they don't know what to do majority of the time. The only thing that they can do is survive. Are you listening? What it's the only thing they can do? Listen, when you're walking on both steps of destiny, neither one of them, well, the right one isn't going to be fulfilled, the wrong one will be. And you always walk in that area where you never know what to do. And then you begin to assume. And as you begin to assume, it puts you off God's destiny course and puts you on the enemy's. Because assumption is dangerous. It may have a sense of looking good. And the purpose of us have a sense of looking good is because it causes you to look good. But in this, troubles begin. Things get tougher. It may have a sense for a period of time. But eventually, you're in association with the presence of evil, which is sin. And the wages of sin is death. Something disastrous will come. I don't care who you are, what you've done, or where you've been. Always disaster waits for an individual that's dancing on both destinies. He can never fulfill the destiny of the Lord until he makes that choice. Doesn't the Bible say you can't serve two masters? You'll hate one and love the other. And that person is always in survival mode because they're always thinking of themselves. That lets you know you're on the wrong course. What about me? What about me? What about me? What about me? You are on the wrong course. When it's all about him, you're on the right course. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. That war within will cause a lack of destiny words also until cleansing comes. 2 Timothy chapter 2. In verse 21. Would you read it with me? 2 Timothy 2 verse 21. Therefore if anyone what? cleanses himself from the latter, he'll be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for what? Every good work. Every good work. So a cleansing must come first. And that cleansing comes out of your mouth. That cleansing comes out of your mouth. Look at what it says, verse 22. Flee also youthful lusts, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call out on the Lord out of a what? Pure heart. See, again, it goes back to the Lord says, if you want life, you must lose yours. That's the only way you're going to get new life. But so many people start off that way, but then they start trying to bring God into their life. God doesn't go into your life. You go into His. When you're trying to bring God into your life, He stands there while you're still walking, doing goofy things and thinking God's with you. You may have a sense that He's with you, but God stands still, and that familiar spirit comes right up next to you and takes the place of God. Oh, and that familiar spirit loves to give you goosebumps, but he promotes rebellion. Does everybody here understand this? He promotes rebellion. He doesn't promote submission. He promotes rebellion and self. I see many people who started off right. They were living in God. The Lord says, abide in me, then I will abide in you. Right? And by they're abiding in him, but then they become complacent. God blesses them. They become prideful. Listen, never go by the reward of blessing where you're at. Does everybody understand that? Because even the enemy can bless you to get you off course. See, when the enemy sees that pride is beginning, man, he starts calling all of his soldiers back. Let them back. We're watching pride. Go ahead, pride. Get in there. Go ahead, religion. Get in there. You religious spirit and prideful and familiar spirit, go ahead. You can start eating. There's lunch. There's dinner. Man, you can have a full course meal off of this one for a while. And eventually, it causes division, causes strife, rebellion, and eventually causes disasters. So the preparing for a good work, and that good work is a good word of destiny. Cleanse to see, cleanse to hear, and to release words of destiny. We need the cleansing from our past. In other words, if your past is manifesting in the present, then you're reacting, aren't you? You're not responding because you're reacting towards the old. Go to Matthew 4. Matthew chapter 4. Are you getting this? Matthew 4, verse 1. Let's read it together. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights afterward, he was hungry. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. And when he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Why? Because those are words of destiny. Those words of destiny set you on course. The Bible says, a word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You know, many people get up in the morning and after a period of time, as they were disciplined and consistent, no longer even get dressed with the full armor of God. They think they're okay. Oh, Lord, dress me. And they go in their closet. That's not where the armor of God is hanging. You get dressed with the full armor of God. Lord, dress me with the full armor. And then you confess it. That's how you get dressed. By each part you confessed, you are dressed. But some people don't even do that anymore. They think it was only for 7 days. Or a short period of time. If you're not getting dressed with the full armor of God every day, you are not dressed for battle. And the enemy will always have limitations on you. You cannot grow. You'll stay immature for a period of time. But Jesus said something very profound. Man cannot live by words of man. Carnal. But only the words of God. Everybody got it? He was confessing two areas. Man cannot live by his own words because they set him on a course of self-destructive destiny. He lives by the words that God has predestined for him. That's how he lives. Because that sets you on the course that God has for you. Oh, these are words of destiny associated with covenant promises of God that are predestined for you. In James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Words of destiny. James 1:16. Let's read this. Do not be deceived, my brethren, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every precious gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. In other words, these things come from God, the good gifts. Of his own will he brought us forth by the what? Word of truth. In other words, he spoke me and you in. That we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Let's go a little further. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be what? Swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word. The word of destiny, which is able to what? Save your souls. Look at the next verse. Be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. There's a lot of people that hear it, but don't do it. The implanted word of destiny that can change the course of life or somebody else's. Psalm 119. Psalm 119. You know how many people speak and how they feel? Well, what do? They set a different course of destiny, don't they? No. Look at how the course of destiny has affected every single one of us when somebody spoke something over us when we were a child. And we accepted it. Didn't that set a whole different course of destiny? Amen. Those were words of destiny spoken over your life by man. Actually, by the devil using a man. But there was that one word of destiny that was spoken to you by somebody, but it was from God, that said, you have a call on your life and you never lost it. Just that one word that you might have held on to that would put you on the right course of destiny is all you needed. Because that one word started it in motion so that you could now turn around and sever all the other words of the wrong destiny that was spoken on you and start the right course of destiny. In Psalm 119 and verse 49, would you read it with me? Remember the word to your servant, upon which you have caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, for your word has given me life. Why? Because his word set the course of life, didn't it? Of life. He's not talking about physical life, he's talking about eternal life. But in this, his word promoted his physical life to live longer. Go to verse 65. You have dealt well with your servant, O Lord, according to your what? Word. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I believe your commandments. Before I was afflicted, I what? What did they go astray from? His word. Destiny. But now I what? Keep your word, the word of destiny that was spoken, his promises. Now I keep it. Now I know the greatest thing for me now is to know that I please you. So now I live to please you. When you live to please him, he's before you. You don't live for yourself. You're on the right course. Now, the enemy always try to convince you you're not because of trials and tribulations. But those are just opportunities to grow and mature. Don't run from them. Go through them. Because if you run from them, it puts you on the wrong course. But if you're willing to go through them, you're on the right course. Matthew 8. Now, please understand, if your life is in danger, get the heck out of there. Amen? That would be a wise choice in destiny. That doesn't mean that if you're being abused, you stay. You get out. Matthew 8. Is everybody there? I love this. In verse 1. Now he, Jesus, had come down from the mountains, and great multitudes followed him. And behold, a leper came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And then Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing to be cleansed. Immediately, his leprosy was cleansed. So I want you to look at this as a sort of, that's what we need first, isn't it? Cleansing. And Jesus said to him, see that you tell no one, but go your way, show yourself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded as a testimony to them. Now when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, pleading with him, saying, Lord, my servant is lying at home, paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. And the centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word, and my servant will be healed. What was he speaking? Destiny. A word of destiny. You know, I think I've seen more people get healed as I prayed for them over the phone. I'm telling you, I've heard of more people getting healed over the phone. It's incredible. I get letters about praying for people, or emails or whatever, letters, and I hear, man, you know, when you prayed for me over the phone and a word would come and spoke it over their life, and it would come to pass. They got healed, whatever it may be. Why? Because it was a word of destiny. It wasn't out of the soul. It was out of the spirit. Go to Colossians 3. Now, when the centurion said, "Lord, just speak the word and my servant will be healed," didn't that change the course of destiny for his servant who was paralyzed and dying and tormented? Here, the Lord was willing to go to his house, and he said, "No, you don't have to go to my house. I know that if you speak a word, it won't return void. I know that you speak words of life, and it sets the course of destiny." Colossians 3, verse 16. Colossians 3:16. Would you read it with me, please? "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." Word of Christ dwell in you richly or intently. That means maintaining a course of destiny. You are setting your course, what comes out of your mouth, and you are setting the course of whatever you agree with. See, words over an individual can place them or misplace them. It can place them or misplace them. Go to Proverbs 3. I've had calls from people totally needing help, and you know what they kept saying? "I'm afraid, I'm afraid, I'm afraid, I'm afraid." Well, it's difficult getting help if you're afraid. Especially if you're so caught up on it and you can't let go of the things. And it wasn't that they were afraid to get help, it was afraid of letting go of things. "I can't let go of this, I can't let go of that." Okay, then you don't want help. Simple. In other words, then you still want the old life, and you're going to constantly react, and you're on the course of danger. Proverbs 3, is everybody there? In verse 1, "My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck, write them on the tablets of your heart, and so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways," what? "Acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path." How are you going to acknowledge him? "Hey, hey, you out there. Where you be?" No. You acknowledge him by speaking words of destiny, his words. "Lord, your word says." Now I'm speaking his words. Go to Numbers 20. Numbers chapter 20. Glory to God. Numbers 20 and verse 6. "So Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly into the door of the tabernacle of meeting, and they fell on their faces, and the glory of the Lord appeared to them. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, 'Take the rod, you and your brother Aaron, gather the congregation together. Speak to the rock.'" I want you to underline that. Speak to the rock. "Before your eyes, and it will yield its water. Thus you shall bring water for them out of the rock and give drink to the congregation and their animals." So Moses took the rod from before the Lord as he commanded him. And Moses and Aaron gathered assembly together before the rock, and he said to them, "Hear now, you rebels." So Moses was upset. "Hear now, you varmints." "Must we bring water for you out of this rock?" Then Moses lifted his hand and struck the rock twice with his rod. And water came out abundantly, and the congregation and their animals drank. Then the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, "Because you did not believe me to hallow me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this assembly into the land which I have given them." Did that change the course of destiny? You betcha. Why? Because Moses did not speak to the rock. He struck it. And you know why he struck it? Because he was in the flesh. He was angry with the congregation. And he struck it. And it did not allow them to be placed in the course of destiny. Millions. Only two of the originals made it. Go to 1 Samuel 17. In verse 41. David and Goliath. So the Philistine came out, began drawing near to David, and the man who bore the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was only a youth, ruddy and good looking. So the Philistine said to David, "Am I a dog?" Well, he was a dog. Dog in the Bible means demonized individual. "Am I a dog?" David just should have said, "Yeah." "Am I a dog that you come out to me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, "Come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field." Now, I want you to grab hold of this, because the enemy is going to try to tell you things. He's going to try to taunt you with words to change you from God's destiny's course. Then David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin. But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied." David is stirring himself up. "This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you." Woohoo! "And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Then all of this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with the sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands." So it was when the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David, that David hurried and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. Then David put his hand in his bag and took out a stone. And he slung it and struck the Philistine where? That's associated with thoughts. Why? Because David set a course of destiny to his enemy. And so the stone sank into the forehead, and he fell on his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone, and struck the Philistine, killed him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood over the Philistine, took his sword and drew it out of its sheath, and killed him and cut off his head with it. And when the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they booked. Now I want you to really look at this, because this is so powerful, because the enemy tries to put words on you, but David was rejecting those words, and he spoke the words of the Lord, just like the words of God will eat up the words of the enemy. See, when light goes on, darkness disappears. And David spoke that. And David didn't have a sword to cut his head off, so David killed the dude, and then went and used his own weapon and cut the dude's head off. I love it. Words of destiny. Isaiah 50. Isaiah 50. In verse 4, read this with me. I want you to make confession with this. Everyone say, the Lord has given me what? The tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak. A word in season to him who is weary. He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to hear as the learned. The Lord has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious. Nor did I turn away. I gave my back to those who struck me, and my cheeks to those who plucked out the beard. I did not hide my face from shame and spitting. For the Lord will help me, therefore I will not be disgraced. Therefore I have set my face like a flint, and I know that I will not be ashamed. He is near who justifies me. Who will contend with me? Let us stand together. Who is my adversary? Let him come near me. Surely the Lord God will help me. Who is he who will condemn me? Indeed, they will all grow old like a garment. The moth will eat them up. Who among you fears the Lord and who obeys the voice of his servant? Who walks in darkness and has no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and rely upon his God. Look, all you who kindle a fire, who encircle yourselves with sparks. Walk in the light of your fire and in the sparks you have kindled. This you shall have my hand. You shall lie down and torment. So what is he saying? He's coming against the enemy, isn't he? He's saying, listen, God has given me the tongue of the learned. Not the learned of the carnal, the learned of the spirit. He's now speaking words of destiny. When Jesus came out of the wilderness, the first thing he did is he went into the synagogue and he grabbed the book of Isaiah and he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Look out, I'm coming to kick butt. See, so many times we don't take the time to stir ourselves up. We try to get in battle. And we're not dressed, prayed up, filled up, or stirred up. And we get out to bed, all right. The only thing you see is the bottom of somebody's feet. And they run off course. But Lord, where were you? What do you mean you ran from me? You didn't allow me to come close to you for battle. I would have battled for you. But you didn't wait for me. You went on your own strength and not in the strength and the might of God. Is everybody all right? Go to Proverbs 18. Proverbs 18. Verse 21. Would you read it? Proverbs 18, verse 21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And those who love it will eat its fruits. Wow. So when you look in the mirror, I'm saying when you look in the mirror, if you see something you shouldn't, then get rid of it. Amen? But don't curse yourself. Don't set the course of destiny, of the enemy's destiny. Don't look in the mirror and go, oh, you ugly thing, you. And don't go in the mirror and call yourself so beautiful that you're so conceited. You go in the mirror, man, I look just like you, Dad. Thank you that I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. You speak his words. Thank you that I'm fearfully and wonderfully made.
I don't care what that mirror says. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. In fact, I think I'll get rid of that mirror. Hallelujah. The Bible says what you sow is what you what? Reap. So if you speak words of destiny, you eat light and you change, right? And it puts you on the course of destiny. You know, so many times you say, oh man, I'm too fat, or I'm too skinny. I'm not saying that might not be true. Well, you know. So do something about it. You know, like get rid of the Twinkies. Or start eating right foods. But you know, that's all you have to do is speak it in. You know, Lord, I decree that I no longer have the taste for Twinkies. Especially the fried ones. I no longer have the taste for those Baby Ruth bars. Lord, I break that taste. I change my taste buds. I decree it in the name of Jesus. See, life and death in the power of the tongue. Lord, I confess. I decree now I'm only going to eat 2 slices of pizza instead of 6. Hello? Is everybody okay? So see, in other words, what you speak is what you get, isn't it? It's going to set you on the course of destiny. But if you say, oh man, I'm so fat, and then, or I'm so skinny, you'll stay there. You got to know how to set the words right. In fact, you don't have to say anything. I see, Lord. Yeah. Hallelujah. You can look at your own shadow, that's all. You know. So in this sowing and reaping, we have to be careful because of the destiny words that we speak. You know. And especially when you begin to speak with someone. You always want to speak words into words of destiny, of life. You want to speak words of. And even when you're praying with someone, hey, how you doing? Man, I just bless you, and I just pray that your relationship with the Lord will increase. Amen? You know, I just pray that you'll know the Father. And I pray that God will set you and establish you and prepare you for your future. See, you got to speak words of destiny. You know, but the flesh wants to say, Lord, bring fire down on them. Did you see what they did to me? Don't work that way. You want fire down on your enemy. But people aren't your enemy. It's the demons that use them are your enemy. Go to Proverbs 21. In verse 6. Getting treasures by a lying tongue is the fleeting fantasy of those who seek death. Don't do it. Verse 16, a man who wanders from the way of understanding will rest in the assembly of the dead. Go to Revelation 12. Are you getting understanding tonight? But if you lose understanding, then you're going to hang out with the assembly of the dead. Revelation 12 and verse 10 says, then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the what? Word of their testimony. Why? Because it set them on course. And they did not love their lives to death. They overcame. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 1. Oh, it's good to hear the pages turning on a Tuesday night. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Let's start at verse 6. Let's read it together. Therefore, I remind you to what? Stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and sound mind. So, how are you going to overcome fear? Stir yourself up. Why? So you can speak the right words. God's not giving me a spirit of fear, but power, love, and sound mind. You got to stir yourself up. That's your responsibility. Stir yourself up. Get filled up. And I'm going to close at Hebrews 10. Words of destiny. Change the courses. It either sets you on the course, or if you agree with the enemy, it takes you off the course. Hebrews chapter 10. And verse 19. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to what? Stir up love and good words, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. In other words, you know, evil's not getting less, it's getting more. Even now, there's the area where they're calling good evil and evil good. So that means you must maintain the course of destiny that God has predestined for you. And it's maintained by your cooperation in speaking these things in. Calling those things that are not as though they are. Speaking forth. It takes cooperation. You know, encouragement. Encouragement to one another. Not discouragement, encouragement. It's important. You know, the Bible says that Jesus was anointed with the Holy Spirit to rescue those who were oppressed by the devil. The devil loves to bring oppression. He oppresses people, and people who are anxious are usually oppressed. In this, you maintain the course. It's by speaking the words of destiny, not only in your life, but in others. Because what you sow is what you reap. But if you're not confessing before God, the cleansing confession, then there's still things that are open in your life to the enemy. And in that, it hinders you from speaking the true destiny course that God has for you. You must be cleansed to speak cleansed. If you're not cleansed, you can't speak things that are clean. And the Lord says, how can you speak something when you're not doing it right? If you're not maintaining covenant, you're not in covenant. And one of the things we want to do is maintain covenant as covenant children so that the words of destiny will be fulfilled in our life. So if you're sick and so forth, listen, believe me, I go through it myself. Everybody does. Nobody's shy of it or short of it. But you've got to speak it through. You get through by speaking through. You'll be stagnated if you don't speak it through. It will hinder you. You'll be limited. The devil will have you in bondage. And you'll be relying on the wrong sources. And it slowly takes you off of God's course of destiny and puts you on the enemy's. So let's stir ourselves up. Grab hold of God. He'll grab hold of you. Draw near to him. He'll draw near to you. Don't be a man pleaser, be a God pleaser. Because that's all that matters. You're going to stand before Him. It's going to be you and Him. That's it. Amen. Let's lift our hands to heaven and thank Him today. Lord, we thank You for Your word. We are honored and blessed. And Lord, any area where we've agreed with in the voice of the stranger that has strayed us off Your destiny for us, we repent and ask for Your forgiveness. And we break those words of false destiny on our lives. And we come against the spirits of assassin of destiny that would try and come against us. And we call forth Your destiny, Lord. Your destiny for our life, because it's Your life. And I pray this over each and every one, Lord. Expose, remove those things that hinder in Your children's lives of destiny according to Your will. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Hallelujah.